And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Over the past 3 weeks, the vastness and diversity of our planet and its people have been made clear with reports from the aftermath of the tsunami. But people around the world face environmental challenges year-round. As the pressures of a globalizing economy continue, added stresses of many kinds are increasing. Is there an answer? It's rare, but yes, there are successes. When you return, it's a pride-filled show here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
One would think that as humankind progresses, the intelligence and wisdom that we possess would quickly lead to a peaceful, harmonious, healthy world. But it seems that somehow we've taken a misstep on the road to tomorrow. The emerging global interdependence and the need to compete in the global economy are being felt not only in the developed world, with challenges to our consumerist societies, and the resultant talk of global warming and even mass extinctions. But it has felt particularly hard in the small agrarian-based towns and villages around the world. Pressures to utilize the natural resources for food and housing and livelihood are creating critical ecological hotspots where something must be done. And although these are now well documented and noted, the question of what to do to help the developing peoples emerge into sustainable societies with these new pressures has been extremely difficult. Today, we dedicate this show to a small, creative organization that is bringing about large changes in the hopes for answers to these challenges. It's rare. That's it. Rare. And we take you around the world through songs and spirit and success in the hour ahead. In our first segment, in just a few moments, we talk with Brett Jenks, President and CEO of Rare, and their very successful program, Pride. And in our second segment, we hear from St. Lucia in the Caribbean, out past Puerto Rico and Venezuela, and Paul Butler, whose unique vision, which honors cultures and in the process unites people and their environment, is changing the nature of change. And we hear about the most popular radio show in the Caribbean. It's a soap opera of sustainability, if you will. You ready for that? And in the segment three, we take calls from South Africa and Arlington, Virginia, as we talk with Morney Farmer, a Pride campaign manager, and Megan Hill, communications director, about the Pride programs. It's a story of great hope, great wisdom, the kind of thing we talk about here on the Wildside News each week. And this week, for the news, I want you to see just how easy it is to keep abreast of current nature news from the Wildside News news page. Links to National Geographic, Orion Online, CNN Nature, and so much more. Get used to it. You'll be glad you did. So, now I want to welcome Brett Jenks, CEO and President of Rare. First, Brett, where are you calling from? And please, give us a weather update.
I'm calling from a very foggy San Francisco this morning.
Uh-huh. So you're on the West Coast today.
Exactly.
Okay. Typically, you're actually calling from the East Coast. That's where your offices are?
Yeah, we're Rare's based in Arlington, Virginia.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk about what's happening in San Diego to the world out there right now, particularly as an ex-Minnesotan where it's 56 below or who knows what all. Anyway, so Brett, Rare starts its mission with a premise that we have already spent years researching, analyzing, and defining the most threatened areas on the planet. And that's precisely where Rare steps in. Why don't we start with that?
Great. Well, Rare is a small NGO based in Virginia, as I mentioned, and we generally believe that there is a unique role to be filled within the conservation world by starting off with the assumption that much of the work has been done to prioritize what are called the hotspots or the priority ecoregions or World Heritage sites all over the world, the real challenge facing conservation is what can we do to reduce the threats to those sites by systematically engaging and inspiring the people who live there to develop more sustainable societies.
That, of course, has been the challenge. There's been many, many different approaches, and to a large degree, that's sort of one of the problems, that there have been so many approaches that there is no best way. You've helped to try to define what you refer to as a replicable approach, and let's talk about that process.
Okay. Well, you know, the big challenge is there are literally 100,000 or more protected areas around the world, and that's just beginning to scratch the surface of the number of regions that need some form of protection. So with that many places out there, and with local conservationists inhabiting those areas, working to develop strategies to conserve those places, what we want to avoid is everyone just reinventing the wheel everywhere we look. So what RARE set out to do is to define methods that have been proven successful, methods that work, engaging societies, inspiring a conservation ethic, building small sustainable businesses that enable local people to benefit from conservation efforts. And then what we want to do is basically articulate those processes or those tools, create toolboxes and training programs, and let an experience, for example, that was very effective in St. Lucia, the RARE Pride campaigns, be able to be replicated by local conservationists in 40 or 50 countries around the world within a time span of just a few years.
Now, recently, the Nature Conservancy announced a major partnership with RARE and Pride. They're dedicated to preserving natural diversity, literally genetic diversity. And I'm just curious, what is it about the RARE approach that really got the attention of the Grand Nature Conservancy?
Well, our relationship with the Nature Conservancy is really exciting for a number of reasons. This is one of the world's largest nonprofit organizations. It's a very professional group and very sizable. I mean, I think on an average year, the Nature Conservancy spends about $800 million. For them to ask RARE to help them in 30 different sites around the world, you know, is first an honor, but also I think a testament to the growing recognition of the conservation community of the need to partner, of the need to avoid reinventing the wheel by identifying what works and then helping roll it out in places where it's most needed. I think what attracted them is as the Nature Conservancy has grown over the years and has started to become a much more global organization, they've recognized, as have many, that there are many similar challenges at those critically important biologically diverse sites around the world. And one of the main challenges we find everywhere we look, and here in the United States it's really no different, but is the lack of a meaningful constituency for the environment. And when you want to make policy changes or you want to create sustainable economies or you want to somehow change the behavior of the citizenry to make it more in line with long-term conservation, you've got to start off with education and then promote attitudinal changes and then eventually seek behavior change. So I think as TNC has grown globally, they've seen the need to build constituencies, and we're just excited that they've asked for RARE's help in doing that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about actually what you do. You bring to this approach something very unique, based primarily on kind of the tried and true marketing techniques forged in the crucible of corporate competition. And there's a reason for that. Why such a strategy?
Well, because it makes sense. Again, it's a proven model. What we do is essentially called social marketing in with our Pride program, with the radio program, both of which I think you're going to highlight on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Social marketing is really just using corporate marketing strategies that are designed to, over time, connect people with a particular message. If you're selling a product, a bar of soap, first people have to know about the bar of soap. They need to know that people use soap. They need to know that there are different kinds of soap. And so you as a marketer, you want to take your customer base, your potential customer base, and move them along the line from awareness to attitude to finally the decision to actually buy your product. Of course, it's pretty easy to measure success because you know when they do and when they don't buy the product because the cash register rings. With social marketing, what you're really trying to do is first make people aware of the value of nature, then try to create a pro-conservation attitude about nature so that people begin to think about the way people interact with the environment and they think about their daily activities. And finally, depending on the case, we are trying to systematically change the way people, for example, the way farmers light prescribed burns before the planting season, or the way people decide to use or not to use cyanide or dynamite to fish on coral reefs. So that rather than having the cash register ring, what we're hoping is to measure a reduced malignant use of natural resources.
You have some great strategies. First of all, to test a region and find out what those areas are that really need to be addressed. You have measurable systems to measure the outcomes, but it's this complex series of different tactics that you use that I think is the secret. It's a very, very creative approach. Let's talk about the Pride approach in particular.
Okay. Well, you know, what's funny about the Pride method is it's really not that complex. In fact, I think the beauty of it is its simplicity. Essentially, we're working with, in any particular place, a local conservation organization who has recognized the need to provide education to a local population and to try to encourage a conservation ethic. They will work together with RARE to select a charismatic local person, an education officer, a radio DJ, a performer, someone who just loves to stand in front of people and sing or dance or shout or what have you. That charismatic person is then trained in a very intensive course in basic social marketing, and they're provided with tools on how to measure behavior change, how to design a campaign. But then they get to the marketing part, and that's really the most simple aspect of the program. They design a 6-foot mascot of a charismatic flagship species that sort of carries the banner of Pride in that particular region. They create public performances with puppet shows that engage school children, that engage local populations in public plazas. They invite local musicians to record popular songs that end up being aired on the radio, some of which become quite popular. And so with 25 different marketing vehicles, each of which is sort of tried and true in the corporate world, they begin to move through that process. Billboards, bumper stickers, posters, radio announcements, church sermons. We work with religious leaders in every one of these communities to incorporate conservation messages into their sermons. And the end result is an aware population of people who generally jump on board and get excited and enthusiastic about conservation.
It's a great way to build a constituency, unite them around this environmental effort, and have them really take ownership and be part of that. I'm going to play something here. Hopefully this is going to work out here. Just to give people a sense of one aspect of the diversity, I have a short segment from a sermon that I'm going to try to fire up here. Let's see how this works, and this will give people an idea of really how clever this is. Not really clever, real. Okay, let's see what happens. Oh, excuse me, this is the soap opera. I apologize for that.
At the Marine Coastal Cleanup, it appears that the participants have made a discovery on the beach that causes quite a stir. Let's see what all the commotion is about.
Hey, what's the fuss?
Something that stinks. Yuck.
What? Clear it away. Let me see.
Oh, my goodness, Junior. It's a turtle shell.
Yeah.
A turtle? You mean that thing is alive?
It's just a shell. Someone must have caught it and decided just to take the meat and leave the shell behind.
But why would they do that?
Turtle meat is a delicacy.
Hey, what are those?
What?
Those two small white balls.
Those look like ping pong balls, but they're smaller.
Oh man, that's too bad. What you are looking at are turtle eggs.
Well, that just gives people a sense. This is one of the most popular radio shows in the Caribbean.
Yeah, well, actually, Sydney, I believe that's a tape from the Pacific region.
Okay.
I'm not positive, but I believe that's one of the 160 episodes from the Micronesian soap opera that's called Changing Tide.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's fine. But let me just explain a little bit about what the difference between that and a Pride campaign.
And we have about a minute left here in this segment.
Okay, terrific. What you're listening to is one segment of a serial drama, essentially a radio soap opera called Changing Tides, that has become very popular in the Western Pacific, in Micronesia and Palau, the Marshall Islands. And the objective of that strategy is to create a locally produced, locally owned and operated radio soap opera that is very popular with communities in seven different nations, and to use that as a vehicle for communicating environmental values and to promote public health benefits for communities.
Well, Brett, we're going to continue looking at Rare and Pride as we continue here on the Wild Side News. Thanks, Brett Jenks, CEO and President of Rare Pride. Rare, actually, and I'm so glad we can bring your work to the world through the Wild Side News.
Thank you, Sydney.
You bet. So when we return, we're going to continue looking at the Rare Pride formula for success. Visit more of their magic. We'll come back.
Have this.